All right, good morning, everybody. How's it going today? I'm getting a little bit of an echo as usual, and I was playing around with some equipment this morning and nothing was going the right way. So hopefully you guys can hear me loud and clear. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down, and I will know that you can hear me. We have some people looking to come up on stage. Happy to have you. Happy to have you. If you're just listening this morning, thank you. Appreciate it. But yeah, I want to be one of the first to wish you a good morning. And I'm rearranging the stage a little bit. But wanted to welcome you to Bitcoin Veterans Spaces, number 246, where we talk about Bitcoin. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I will be your host this morning. And hopefully we can get Texas Toast up here. Having a little bit of trouble getting him up here, but we will do it. And I'm also joined, it looks like, by BFP, Neil, and AC. If you're in the audience and would like to come up, love to have you. Looks like we have Bitcoin Jesus and Coleman, who are frequent contributors to the space. We'll try to get them up there. But yeah, if it's your first time, welcome. Welcome in. Happy to have you. And let's look at the stats for today. It is Tuesday, August 19th, 2025, and we are sitting at Bitcoin block height number 910,753 with the Bitcoin price right around $115,300, which means you can still pick up 867 sats for each US dollar. Wanted to make a couple of announcements this morning. As I've been mentioning, Bitcoin Veterans wants you to mark your calendar for November 10th and 11th in Nashville, second annual summit. Please consider joining us. We're going to have a great time. First day is going to be the conference day. Lots of good speakers, panel topics, all kinds of stuff going on. You'll get your learning on. And also, the second day is going to be range day. So if you'd like to learn how to shoot a firearm safely, or if you're a seasoned veteran and want to have some competition with some other people who know how to shoot a firearm, please join us. BitcoinVeterans.org/summit2025. If you guys, any of you guys want to apply to be a speaker, you can do that at that website as well. But would love to have you in attendance in Nashville in November, right around Veterans Day there. So, let's see. Tomorrow we do have Rod Rowdy from Bitcoin Park. So you won't want to miss him as our guest. Should be a great discussion. Excited to have him on the show and hear all about Bitcoin Park, their Imagine If summit that's coming up and all the other stuff, all the other wisdom from Rod. So, please do join us tomorrow, 10 a.m. We'll be doing this again. Let's see. Last announcement for today. We're looking for a producer for the show. So if you're interested, if you want to come up with better names for each morning's show, please do, DM me. We can get you plugged in to the Signal back chat and, would love to have anybody who is interested in helping grow the show, the content, and the audience. It'd be awesome to have your help. Wanted to give a shout out to Coleman, who's in the audience. Thanks for uploading all of the recordings of this to Fountain and maybe some other platforms. But yeah, guys, we could use some help and love doing this every morning. Love hanging out with you guys, come up with a variety of topics. And if you'd like to see one, always love hearing what people are thinking about. So with that, I wanted to go around the horn and say good morning. Texas Toast, how are you this morning, sir?
Good morning. Another wonderful day. Ready to get after it.
That's great. Neil, how are you, sir?
I couldn't be better. This is, I don't know, starting to get getting on a swing. And I don't know, it's great when the momentum you have built in one day carries over to the next and the next and the next. And it's addicting.
Yeah. Good stuff. BFP. Good morning.
Good morning. Bye. Thanks for having me.
No birds, but a little matrix. We'll let you get that sorted out. Pubby, thanks for joining us. How was your teeth cleaning yesterday?
Hey, not bad at all, man. You gotta stay on top of that dental health. Yeah, Taco Tuesday, a good lead in there. Producers, I don't know if producer Jacob's still around. I know he was doing stuff for Swan, but he's a good guy. And, yeah, if not, tomorrow you can do Wing Wednesday as your show title.
Ooh, I like that. Do you prefer plain or some sauce or what's your thing? Some people like the buffalo style. What do you like?
Pro tip. Okay. I like the, you get the rubs. You find a nice rub in there, but then you get a side order of whatever sauce you like. So you get the rub and dip as much as you want on there. And it's ranch, not blue cheese that you get with it. So that's my go-to.
Hubby, this is a family friendly show. I think you should tone it down with your, rub and dip, but thank you for that. That's beautiful. AC, how are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Great to be here. Thanks.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've gone around the horn. We'd love to have other people come up. Sorry, guys. Try to keep it light. Make fun of myself and others. It's all in good fun. We should be having a good time as Bitcoiners, whether you like tacos or not. I tend to enjoy them on Tuesday if I can for lunch. And I think I'm going to actually have some beef tacos this afternoon. My wife informed me, so I'm excited about that. And I hope you are too. So let's see, topics for the day. I think there's a lot of different things going on, but you know, one thing that I've been looking at, and I actually wrote an article about Signal, private messenger. A lot of people in this space have used it for a variety of reasons. Good place to be on groups and you know, individual communications. But one other tool that has kind of come up in the last couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks now, is this BitChat. This is vibe coded by Jack Dorsey a few weeks ago, and I did download it over the weekend. And I was thinking of different use cases, and maybe I can share a little of those. But interesting thing. What it does is it connects, for those that don't know, it connects via peer-to-peer over Bluetooth. And so no other network connection available or needed. And what this could allow you to do is in case of an outage, an internet outage, you may be able to have a mesh network and communicate still. So lots of interesting use cases, I think, but just curious, anybody on the stage played around with it, used it, thought about it? It is available now for Android and iPhone. And so just curious if anybody has taken the steps to download and install it on their device.
I have not. I just wonder about the range. Like, that's kind of the whole thing, is what is the range of that you can push out on a Bluetooth?
Yeah, certainly limited. But because it's a mesh network, conceivably, if I could have, you know, my neighbors download it, or, you know, you think of being in I actually was talking to my wife about this. It's like, hey, if we were ever on a plane and we don't have messaging, because we don't have connection to the internet or the internet's down, might be helpful to have this communication between us in a close proximity like that. Go ahead, Texas.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, the only other one other applicable thing I could see it be used for, it's like an apartment complex or a giant building. They could use that to communicate to their residents in like an emergency. And all kinds of stuff. It makes sense on a, if you're going vertical, but if you're going horizontal across big distances, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, I think these things, you know, as we've seen with Bitcoin, these things all come down to network effect, right? So if you could get enough people using it, conceivably, even though you and I are say 50 miles away from each other, I could send a message and it would hop through all the peers and eventually get to you. And we're all connected just over Bluetooth. So if there's nobody downloading it and using it, you're not going to be able to get that message all the way across a mesh network that doesn't exist, right? So one of the things I think is interesting is it does keep you anonymous, but you can favorite people and identify them or mark them in the app. You can do a group by default. You can do like a group chat for any of the peers that your phone sees. But then it also will allow you to obviously private message people. So I'd encourage you, if you can, try it out. It's an interesting technology. I find it interesting. Like, I was at church over the weekend and I was like, huh, I wonder if anybody has this running on their phone. Sure enough, they did not. But one day, I'm just dreaming. One day, like when I was sitting in a boardroom in the maybe mid-teens and talking to the bank that I worked for about Bitcoin, and they all just looked at me with a blank stare, kept their eyes on their paper, and did not want to hear anything about it. And now here we are with all of you fine folks enjoying this Taco Tuesday. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be one of my things. I think I'm going to encourage people to download this app. It's not that hard. And it's a pretty simple, low level app. And who knows, maybe it's something that could be useful. Too bad, you know, I don't know. I think people are, you know, trying to push out, Nostr and other networks, and those have had limited success as well. And so maybe we'll see it like that, but, slowly but surely, I think people will adopt these technologies. So, BFP, I see your hand, sir. Go ahead.
Do they have it on Google or just Apple? Because I looked for it in the Google Play Store, couldn't find it.
Yeah, and that could be a barrier for sure. So right now, because it is open source, it is, and I'm trying to get a couple of people up here. Sorry for the delay there. But yeah, you can sideload it on Android. So essentially there's a GitHub out there for it because it's open source. And so you can very easily go to the GitHub, download the APK, and then you do have to change this default settings on your phone so that you can load an APK that does not, has not been published in the App Store. So hopefully that helps. I'm not sure if you've ever done that before, but I think it's, they give you instructions in there. Neil, good morning, sir. What's up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know too much about the app, but the thing that jumps out to me is just like, you know, again, this principle of decentralization. And when you push on that lever, like things that you can't imagine, like just like you're saying, no one's at your church, whatever, is this stupid thing that doesn't have any function, but like you keep increasing decentralization. And then like at some tipping point, you know, just like something unlocks, you know, where the thing that you thought was completely impossible is now just normal, regular and assumed, you know, like that's an amazing thing to like, to be reaching for, this idea that our comms and the way we connect, like we can just completely circumvent the traditional centralized, you know, lanes of your provide, like your, you know, your wireless carrier or your internet service provider or all these things. Like I'm very happy that people are at least thinking in that way. You know, it's like, it works for money. Why would it not work for other domains? And it's like, I don't know. It's a great time to be alive.
Yeah. And it's like anything, you know, people don't use this stuff until they really need it. And it's like, man, that would have been nice to have. And so the more we can get information out there, I do think people hopefully adopt these things. But unfortunately, no pain, no gain, right? And I think that that's the same. Like we look at and talk about people who are no coiners or who just refuse to pay any attention or do any study. And a lot of times the main reason is because the fiat system has served them extremely well, and they just don't feel like they have this need. And so I'm going to put a couple of things up in the nest this morning. One is the BitChat thing. Should be loading here in a second. And then also, I do see some hands. So let's go to those, and then we can talk about my other topic here in a little bit once we exhaust this one. So I think I saw, well, maybe Manimal, maybe AC. You guys sort it out.
Hey, morning, Bitcoin warriors. I'm just curious if people have been, or what everybody's opinion is on the Bitcoin Core versus Knots kind of debate going on right now when it comes to spam filtering. It seems like there's a philosophical debate side to it and a technological debate side to it. So I'm just curious what the OGs on this this podcast or this channel have to say about it, and then also curious what people think about BlackRock owning, you know, over like 11 million shares of MicroStrategy and maybe dumping those shares one day to scoop up some cheap corn, maybe during the next bear market. So those are my two thoughts for the day. Just curious what everybody has to say about that, or anybody has to say about it.
Yeah, thanks for coming up and contributing. Always love to have people bring up some of these topics. We did cover a little bit of it yesterday, but if someone wants to jump in and kind of sum things up, I think AC had some good comments on it yesterday, and I think he has maybe something else to contribute this morning. So AC, can you check your mic here, sir?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? So before we pivot the conversation, and to be honest, I'm exhausted with that one and I'm not going to touch it because I'm tired of, you know, this ongoing, no one comes to an agreement, Bitcoin Core versus Knots. So somebody else can talk about that. Really kind of reverting back to, BitChat. I did put an image in the comments so you guys can check that out. There was actually a product that launched, you know, in the 20 teens, so to speak, and it was FireChat. Very similar technology, did not include the encryption or the other group chat functionality, but it did create a mesh network over Bluetooth. And really, it was not used predominantly until times of crisis or need. And really, that's where I see this product fit that particular niche. It's one of those things from a military background that would be in your PACE plan, and typically in the emergency section of that PACE plan. The challenge that I think BitChat is going to have, and it's similar to a lot of these other products that Bitcoiners have talked about or looked at in the past, whether that's SimpleX, White Noise, or Keet, and that's adoption. And Bob, you kind of alluded to that, is if your network of people or the people that you communicate with the most do not adopt the product, then you're not going to be able to communicate with them. We see that, especially in Bitcoin, trying to get those people closest to us involved, interested, curious in Bitcoin. But we also see it in, you know, secure messaging apps. Like, I don't know how many times you guys receive messages from people over clear text SMS, and you talk to them about end-to-end encryption with Signal or with other products. Maybe it's something more centralized like Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or something like that, maybe Telegram. And so I think adoption is going to be the biggest challenge. But I encourage people to think about things in, you know, what's your primary alternate contingency and emergency means of communication? And, you know, I was at another conference just a couple of weeks ago, and they set up an extremely large Meshtastic network. And it was kind of the same thing. There were a lot of people walking around with devices, but very few people actually transacting messages over the mesh network. So I think that we are at a similar time to the early .com era where there's a lot of experimentation taking place in the space. And really it's going to boil down to adoption, and people are going to centralize to the best product with the best UI and the best functionality and the most users. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, AC. And I do think you're right. It's hard, especially when you're at conferences. You're like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we really set this thing up and everybody adopted it? But usually people are at conferences trying to make in-person connections. And so they tend to ignore their phones a little bit. And while the experiment would be cool, it is difficult to get people who are there to make, like I said, in-person connections to be looking at their phones. Texas Toast, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it seems like with any of these technologies, it's kind of a catch-22 where, you know, it's decentralizing in nature, but it also requires nodes. And it requires you to be a node in a lot of these systems. So I kind of envision a bunch of different technologies, ways to do things going forward, and kind of each community is gonna attach or kind of gonna build out what they think is best, whether it's Meshtastic or this Bluetooth. It kind of all depends on the size, the place. It's like each one of these technologies has its benefits and weaknesses. And I just see a world where a lot of different things get stood up for each size community, but it takes some sort of leadership or centralized position to really enact them. So it's a weird kind of double-edged thing, but yeah, it's better than like your state government mandating it for everybody, but maybe who knows what would be better, all these different things or one specific network that's mandated from the top down.
Yeah, it's interesting. Pubby, you go ahead.
Yeah, just real quick to answer, Nas versus Core. The solution is to buy Bitcoin in self-custody. That's as far as I've gone down that rabbit hole. Two, when it comes, you know, when it comes to comms, the last thing I need is another fucking form of communication, man. And, you know, like I say, I like to pulling out the PACE communication plan because I got to put one out whenever I travel. But dear God, man, we have, like you say, even with Twitter, you get your Twitter DMs, regular text messages. I got WhatsApp. I got Signal. There's Telegram. You're getting hit by five different places in the same stuff. So if something comes out like that where it runs off a mesh network, you see it in an emergency. But like everything else, it's like, who's using this stuff? That's one of the hangups right now with Nosters, who's over there. Okay. Who's going to use it? Because there's like three people that are talking to each other and that's about it. So I'm always interested. Yeah. The more, if you can share that up in the nest, I'll take a look at it. I'm interested to see, but the real emergency is going to be when internet, Wi-Fi, all that, if it drops, what is, you know, do I got to now go get a ham radio and learn that? I don't know. And what are we going to say to each other? Hey, do you got anything to eat? Because all the supply chains are down and I don't have a garden. It's all land a plane there.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's going to be embedded in whatever, you know, community emergency app they're going to kind of have the community download, whether that's an HOA, like creating their own app and you can pay dues and stuff through it. And then you have this BitChat embedded into it. So that you can all communicate, like stuff like that, especially as it becomes easier to build these apps, and vibe code them, you know, in a weekend. Stuff like that becomes really accessible and easy to create. So we'll see.
Are you old enough to remember CB radios? For those of you younger. Yeah. I used to have a handle. Brother. Yeah, man. Yeah, CB, that's how you got across the country. You had your Rand McNally map and a CB radio to ask truckers where to go.
Yeah, and then to get back to Manable, or Manimal, yeah, for me, it's just having Bitcoin, you know, the Knots versus Core. It's like beating a dead horse. You know, pick your own adventure. It's the same thing with this comm stuff. It's like you do whatever you want to do. It's not once you get to that level, and you run whatever node, you know, fits your preferences, move on. Cause otherwise it can eat you up and make you, you know, question. To me, it's one of these FUD points that we'll look back on in 5 years. And, you know, to me, it's just good that the operating, not operating systems, but the, you know, Knott's First Core, there'll probably be another one coming up soon. You got Ocean decentralizing mining and the pools in that way. The more of these things get out there, I think the better. So that's where I stand on it. And then with MicroStrategy, it's like, dude, just buy Bitcoin. It's always been that way. It's like, if you're trying to chase these ridiculous gains, if you have like 50% of your portfolio in MicroStrategy, I'm sorry, you're dumb. That's way too much risk. You're, at the end of the day, you're trusting a third party intermediary between you and your Bitcoin. So, you know, maybe it's good for a couple percent, but, anything outside of that. And I think you're taking on way too much risk.
Coleman is cheering there in the audience. Go ahead, man.
No, for sure. I mean, look, if BlackRock dumps MicroStrategy and forces MicroStrategy to somehow sell their Bitcoin, portion of their Bitcoin position, I'll be cheering because I'll get a lot more Bitcoin at a cheaper price. I mean, I'm totally fine with it. I'm just curious. I'm just curious what people think about Larry Fink and BlackRock.
I don't know if you dropped for everybody else, but you dropped for me. You know, BlackRock, Larry Fink's going, now he's the interim head of the World Economic Forum. Yeah, it's can be scary. To me, I just look at it as the world is trying to get their hands on Bitcoin. All right. Sorry, I had to mute you. I don't know what happened. But the world's trying to get their hands on Bitcoin. And, you know, they think they're going to attempt to try to control it. We'll see. We'll have to just kind of keep an eye on it and see how they, what their angle of attack is and talk about it. And then we can all kind of move the other direction. If it becomes a danger to the network. But for now, I don't think that's the case. Until it proves to be a legitimate threat. I just see it as Bitcoin embedding itself into everything.
And this is just sort of what we talk about. The nice thing about just having your Bitcoin, your regular stack and self-custody is I don't have to worry about what Larry Fink does. I don't have to worry if Michael Saylor is diluting shares and MSTR people are sort of pissed off. You don't have to worry about that stuff because guess what? You've got the original. You've got the Bitcoin and you self-custody. Now other people get to argue about this stuff. Core versus Knott's, people going back. Guess what? When we were everyone was talking about ordinals that whole time, ordinals and inscriptions, dear God, for 6 months, it didn't change anything about the way I would stack Bitcoin. And you look now and you think about all the time and energy wasted on that for some people, you know, look back, just stick to the original plan. That's always been my sort of thought on this. And like I say, you've got the luxury then to come in from the outside and you can play this as a thought game. All right. So yeah, what if, we do get this ETF? You know, what if this, well, that's for other people to worry about. Other people that are now concerned with something that is centralized and chasing yield, which wasn't what brought me and many others to Bitcoin, but now they've got something else to worry about in their life.
Yeah. And if you run Bitcoin, you know, one of the great things about Bitcoin is it's backwards compatible. So it's like, if you run an older version, you never have to upgrade, you know, theoretically, like maybe some of the more technical guys would say you do eventually, probably, but, for a long time, you can really wait out all the noise and all the arguments and kind of see what happens. And then, you know, if something makes sense, you go that direction.
Yeah, good stuff. Did want to say good morning to Tao and B Solo. Feel free, guys, to jump in anytime. Love to have new voices. Tao's up here quite a bit, but B Solo, good to see you and good morning. We can continue on this topic. Otherwise, another news, in other news that I wanted to get to this morning is, Ronin Dojo, who is, if you guys aren't familiar, is one of the more popular node softwares, that is focused on privacy, announced that they have released an update to their software, and it allows for some interesting, interesting things. And, I think, I don't know, I was just kind of pouring through it late yesterday. And one of the things that it offers is, something where when you send a transaction through your node, it won't be immediately pushed to the Bitcoin network, but instead sent to a random node on the network, which will push it to the Bitcoin network. So what this means is that your node will receive other people's transactions and will also push these transactions to the Bitcoin network, which further obfuscates the origin of the transaction because the maker or a transaction does not have to be connected with a Bitcoin node that relays the transaction to a network. So I know I said node, network, maybe Pubby's having a little sip of coffee for every time I said node and network in that little blurb. But, but yeah, I don't know. I think this is interesting. What are you guys' thoughts on this? I mean, maybe it's not such a big deal for a lot of people, but I do think that this is an interesting development, that they're building almost a sub network of nodes that will allow for further obfuscation of transaction broadcasting across anyone running their node software. Have you guys ever had crickets on your tacos? Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say it's par for the course. The privacy war is in full swing now, and that's where they're going after Bitcoiners. So I think more privacy technology needs to come out, and people need to hide their identities who are making it, because it's going to get ugly. Especially with BlackRock's Larry Fink, who I knew couldn't have been a good actor, and now he's working for the World Economic Forum and BlackRock. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
AC, go ahead.
Yeah, so this update to Ronin Dojo, I think it's pretty awesome. I shared a previous post that I'd made a while back, both in the comments and in the Nest. And it was just a conversation of how somebody might think about using their node. And so back to Manimal's comment, I think the most important piece isn't if you decide to run core or not. Really, it's, are you running a node? And Tao did a great space last night talking about nodes and kind of walking through with somebody on how the thought process and decisions that you would make in running a node. But the bottom line is you use your node to verify your transactions and your addresses and validate that, you know, what you see is actually true. But really the other piece of that I like to think about is, what Ronin Dojo did is what a lot of people, myself included, have been doing manually. And that is, you know, you use your node to validate your addresses and your transactions, but broadcast using someone else's node. And there's a really technical reason behind doing that. And what Ronin Dojo is doing is they're kind of automating that process a little bit. And so when that transaction is broadcast, it's not coming from a particular node and then spreading from its nearest peers, which you can see on your node if you're running one, and then propagating throughout the gossip network. And so what they're doing, I think, is increasing privacy for Bitcoiners who choose to run that particular node. And I'll land it there, but I think it's a good thing for the community and for the network overall.
Yeah, good stuff. Who else? Go ahead.
Hey, Bob, just want to jump in here with the whole knot and core thing. Just really quickly, I think a lot of people are still misinformed about how it actually works. I don't think people have enough information to properly make a decision that they want to make a decision on. Because some aspects are very, very deep, very technical that may not necessarily affect the thinking. But then some things are just so ideological that people use that to influence what they believe in. And so, you know, I've been on actually both sides from day one as I was like getting more information. But as I was getting more and more information, I realized, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm fairly well technically fluent and know tech fairly well, but yet I was still missing a lot of pieces into this whole sort of like contention. I didn't understand that, oh, this offer this and this offer that, et cetera, or this is the belief that was on a certain site, et cetera. And so I just think a lot of people are still missing that information. And it's a lot of things out there, because when I hear people kind of talk about it or discuss it, you can see it. You can see that, hey, they're just not bringing things up that didn't make sense or it's just false entirely. And I held several spaces just for the topic itself, not a way, not to debate or anything, but for myself to learn and for others to learn as well. And you realize, wow, there was so many things, so many layers to the conversation that a lot of people missed out. So I just recommend people who are really passionate about this sort of thing, you know, learn as much as you can and, you know, form whatever decision you want to form. And then quickly on the MSTR thing that you guys mentioned earlier, I think last month or something, I got some MSTR shares because I was thinking, you know, this is a new thing. It seems promising. And also who is kind of sort of leading the effort. And I'll say, you know, MSTR seems like someone I should buy. So I bought some, but during that time, actually, during that whole week of period, I've been contemplating quite a bit. Like, should I get it? And not like it wasn't even long, but just 3 days later after I bought it, I sold it because I realized that why am I, you know, putting my money to let somebody hold my Bitcoin when I can hold my Bitcoin myself, right? The way I see it is that the only way that MicroStrategy can go up is if Bitcoin went up. And if Bitcoin goes up, then that means I already have the asset. So to me, I just felt this third party, you know, risk was just something you can't control. Like you guys mentioned many, many times before, it's not necessary. You have operational, you know, risks. You have potential, you know, accounting risks. You don't know what anybody's doing. So why just have all that noise and why not just buy your Bitcoin and just cold storage it? And so, yeah, I, you know, sold it literally 3 days after I bought it. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm still like bullish on what they're doing potentially in the future, but you know, I just rather hold my Bitcoin, and I recommend other people do the same. That's it. Thanks.
Not financial advice. No, but I appreciate you sharing that, and I think we lost one of our newly news participants. So that's okay. But yeah, no, I do think like there's this debate going on with Strategy and other treasury companies. And we see KindlyMD and Nakamoto Holdings officially merged this morning and are picking up 5,765 Bitcoin to add to their balance sheet. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to look at it. The reality is that this treasury company, Bitcoin treasury company, I guess if you want to call it adoption or new wave, is just getting started. And so a lot of people would say that MicroStrategy is, while they're the clear leader, they are almost being diluted as people move capital into these newer companies that have tremendous upside. And so if you want to play that game, awesome. But in the end, I think the best strategy for most people, as Texas Toast was saying, is to just buy Bitcoin, get it off the exchange, put it into self-custody, and forget about it. Live your life, but join these spaces every weekday at 10 a.m. because we like to talk about this stuff. So, yeah. So did anybody have any thoughts on my assertion that this Bitcoin treasury company trend is just getting started? And for those of us who hold Bitcoin, you can look at it as a good thing or a bad thing. But the way I see it is, this was bound to happen. And these companies are maybe going to pose a future risk to the price. But I guess, as you guys have heard me say a ton of times, I'm not here entirely for the price. Sure, it helps. But we're talking about all these other things, right? If we go back to Friday, we're talking about how it's freedom money. And so I like to focus on those things. But I know for people who are just getting into the space and trying to understand it, their best frame of reference is the price. And so I understand why we have these debates and these different opinions on this asset. But I think, do I see BFPs here? Or no, that's a phantom hand. Never mind.
Real quick, Bob, on this. You know, the thing is, when you've been here for a while and you understand the difference between Bitcoin and all of the other coins is one thing. It's for anyone that is new that is coming in and they hear things like this MSTR and MSTY, and it gets conflated to where they think they have Bitcoin. Okay. What they're not seeing is that centralization, the middleman. You're at the whim of whatever Saylor does. You're at the whim of BlackRock and everything, not understanding the difference. And that's the problem, is when people start to conflate this to chase yield, which is fine. Don't get me, that's absolutely fine. It's sometimes you got to get the message out. Listen, I know you're here and you think you're buying Bitcoin. What you're buying is sort of a share in this. Okay. And I'll give you an example with someone that had heard me talk about Bitcoin for some time. And finally said, hey, listen, I heard you talk about it for so long. I finally got some Bitcoin. And I was like, oh, great. So, you know, where did you get it? I just figured an exchange. And I forgot what exchange it said, but, yeah, so I got this much XRP. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, XRP. It's a kind of Bitcoin. And you just shake your head because you want to help, but this is how it's like sort of information out there. Where Bitcoin itself has taken over the term of like a cryptocurrency, and XRP is a type of Bitcoin. You see, so that's,
yeah,
that's
I the wanna co-
yeah, go ahead.
What kind of Coke do you want, sir?
Well, that's just it. Yeah, exactly. And so when we had this, and chasing yield is fine. I'm not saying, oh my God, you know, this is a scam or this is that. Just understand what you're getting into when you're chasing yield, which is fine, man. Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, some people would argue we're in a strategy bear market, but it's funny because, you know, it would stand to reason that this type of thing would happen. I think a lot of people kept they had their IRAs, stranded retirement funds, and they had access to buying strategy, but they couldn't buy Bitcoin. And you know, this was prior to the ETFs. And so a lot of people, that own Bitcoin, they went and said, hey, I can get some additional Bitcoin exposure by moving my IRA or some of it into strategy. And, you know, this would have been what, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, before the ETFs. And they've seen, you know, one of the best performing stocks, which is great. But if you're just a holder, like with Bitcoin, you just buy and hold and you forget about it. And with something like strategy, I think a lot of people, you know, it's the one thing that they can trade in and out of in their retirement account. And so I think a lot of people have lost that long-term focus, but as you guys are mentioning, there is this third-party risk. And now that you have the opportunity to just hold straight up Bitcoin, or at least a ETF, why wouldn't you? And so, anyway, it's an interesting topic for sure. I think we'll see. Coleman has said, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, would love to have him up here if he's available, but Coleman has been saying, hey, this is something, that'll probably be something you don't want to hold probably until end of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter. Wonder if he has updated thoughts on that, but maybe we can get him up here in the next couple of days. What do you guys think, just to shift topics here, because I think we've kind of beaten this one up. What do you guys think about, do you guys have any thoughts on this news that Tether has appointed Bo Hinds to strategic advisor? And for those who don't know, he was in the White House, and it looks like we do have Coleman coming up. So maybe we'll put that topic on hold and let Coleman chime in and do his little happy dance, because he was right about strategy. We have you up here, Coleman.
Hey, can you guys hear me? Sorry, there's a little bit of a delay on my end. So I just want to make sure I heard the question right. We're talking that my thoughts or opinions on MicroStrategy.
Yes, sir. Yep. Just wanted to get an update from you. I know you had said a couple of months ago you were short-term bearish, at least on strategy.
Yeah, I don't think much has changed. I always think it's kind of funny. Bitcoiners, we always talk about having a long time preference, and they're supposed to remember things. I don't think anybody really remembers what happened 12 months ago during last summer. Didn't we take a huge, massive dip, and we thought we were going to start crashing again to 50K? It's kind of funny how we're seeing similarities happen right now. And I think if you were tracking MicroStrategy back last summer, it's following the same trajectory, and it didn't really start taking off until October, Q4. So I would imagine it's probably going to follow a very similar path. And I think Bitcoin is just going to lull everybody to sleep. I'm already seeing some people post that we might have hit the top of the cycle, and we could expect to start going down. I just think just wait 45 days and then go back and check. If you're in if you're stacking Bitcoin, which I think everybody should be, I think you're going to have some fantastic buying opportunities over the next month and a half. I wouldn't be surprised if we start getting below 110, maybe retest that 100K line. I just think summer's kind of a weird time for Bitcoin. Same with September, but I would make sure that I'm paying attention to what happens in October.
Buy the dip. Wake me up when September ends.
What other, pretty much.
What other thing?
Yeah. Did I answer the question though, or no?
Yeah, that's good stuff. I do think it's important for people to remember, like, this is not a high time preference space, whether you're in Bitcoin or Bitcoin derivatives like strategy or ETFs or any of those things. Go back and listen to last Wednesday's space about time preference, because I do think that people need to be reminded often that this is not the casino. Even though, and not to transition, but I did see that a report that Dave Ramsey came out again and is doubling down or quadrupling down at this point on his stance against Bitcoin. And I found it funny because it seemed like a friend of his was trolling him, because he knows that Dave Ramsey is anti-Bitcoin. And so, sounds like this friend of his bought $10,000 worth of Bitcoin and then, told him about it. And he had all kinds of, very nasty things to say, but, it is funny now though that I think that people are starting to, troll him a little bit, and even those that are close to him that are not following his advice. So, I don't know. I found that one funny. Let's see. What other ideas are people, coming up with on anything that we've talked about this morning? We have maybe about 5 minutes left in the show, and, Texas Toast, go ahead, sir.
Well, I told you, Bob, they have to be mocked into submission. They have to be made into a clown. You know, and Peter Schiff, that guy on the Wolf of All Streets, morning show, Monday macro morning show. It's like, they're all going to be wrong and I'm going to laugh at them and we will troll them forever until they capitulate, bend the knee. And if they don't, they can have fun staying poor. All right.
Yep. As I've said, that's one tactic. Maybe I'm just too nice. Coming from the banking space, I was always, you know, steeped in customer service. And so now I'm just like, I think it's funny actually when people say those things that you're saying, but I also then try to put myself in the shoes of these people. I do think that the people who are outspoken deserve it a little bit more, right? Like Dave Ramsey, Warren Buffett calling Bitcoin rat poison and then eventually rat poison squared. I do think that the ones who have just been either too lazy or intellectually dishonest probably need a little bit of that mockery. This is the game, right? It's a social experiment and it takes all kinds. And so, we're happy to, share both perspectives and, I think it's fun, right? Like we can laugh at other people. We can laugh at ourselves. Let's, finish out the show. Like, do you guys think this Tether announcement is a big deal or not? Obviously it's looking like the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve is not going to happen, at least this go round. And so, do you blame Bo Hinds for leaving the White House and the, crypto initiative, and going and getting his payday at Tether? And then also, do you guys think that Tether is, smart and has, you know, as having this guy be part of their strategic advisory, does it give them an extra leg up as we see stablecoins did pass with the Genius Act?
Yeah, I think it's just more the status quo. And I think people, you know, don't really realize that all or most of these people in the White House and in these important positions, you know, they're all businessmen for the most part or in large part. And we're going to see more and more turnover like this back to the private sector. And, in my mind, I'm just seeing how it's going to be corporatized, that everybody's going to try to make some money off of it. But if you're looking from like stuff coming from the state or like a state run anything. I just don't think we're in that era. We're in an era of decentralization, and that includes, with businesses. You know, some, they're going to try to centralize it, not at the government level, but at the business level. And we'll see if that works. I don't think it will in the long run, but that, to me, that's the path we're on. And we're going to see a lot of these people, Sachs, included, probably turn over, you know, by the time somewhere in the second half of the administration, you would think that we're going to get a rollover and get some fresh blood in there. And these guys are going to go back to their businesses and continue to rake in billions of dollars. So I think it just kind of sets everything up for, this banking led stablecoin future. I think Wyoming announced that they're running their state run, or state issued and backed stablecoin now. So that's kind of interesting, but they're building out the banking and stablecoin infrastructure. So we'll see. Maybe I can trigger TC to get really pissed off about stablecoins and he can come tell us off.
Yeah. Does anybody have any other thoughts? And I do see TC down there. See Trey Sellers, enjoy the, I was talking about Dave Ramsey earlier and, his, recent comments, but, makes me think of Trey a little bit with his, Fire BTC. Would love to have him up in, if not today, some other day to chat about this stuff. But it is fun, guys. Like, I think, like, there's a lot of things going on, and I do think, the voices and the dissent and the fear will continue, as we go sideways here. And, there may be, like Coleman was saying, even a nice little dip, but I'm going to forewarn you that that dip, if it occurs, that you should be thinking of it as a nice opportunity to buy that dip and to stack additional sats. So just prepare yourself now. Like, if it happens, awesome. If you're still able to stack, you should be considering that. Really, it just comes down to your positioning, your mind, what you're doing. And if you've already over leveraged yourself, I'm sorry. but these are the lessons people have to learn. So, yeah, let's go around the horn, see if anybody else has anything else that they want to add before we wrap up the show this morning. Neil, go ahead.
No, I was just, it's actually nice just listening to a bunch of things that, people are saying, stuff to chew on.
Yeah, appreciate it. AC, Coleman, Manimal. All right. Silence is bliss. Awesome. But guys, want to thank everybody for showing up today, everybody who listened in, everybody who is up on the stage. Would love to continue the conversation tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. We're going to have special guest Rod Rudy from Bitcoin Park. Would love it if you guys would join us either to chime in and ask questions or just listen in and hear more about Bitcoin Park, the Imagine If Summit, and those things. By the way, speaking of summits, if you're interested in Bitcoin Veterans Summit coming up November 10th and 11th, please visit bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. And that's really, guys, all we have for today. This was a fun Taco Tuesday. Thanks again for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow. And remember, please, please, please do not shitcoin. It's like buying a Bitcoin treasury company and not holding any Bitcoin yourself.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them poor.